You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast at savage.love.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't ask on the Savage Lovecast.
Husbands you can't leave, pregnancies you can't terminate, politicians you can't vote out. That is the Republican agenda for American women. I could open the show every week talking about the GOP agenda for American women, and I am tempted to do so because it's alarming, and I am alarmed, and I think you should be alarmed too. But you listen to sex podcasts like mine for a break from the news. And we've got a lot of great calls this week that we're going to get to in a minute, so you are going to get that break that you came here for soon. But first, I feel obligated to share these three brief audio clips from three very influential voices in today's GOP. First up, Michael Knowles from the Daily Wire.
I could not possibly care less about the details of Steven Crowder's divorce. I couldn't. It is. I care about divorce as a political fact. I think divorce should basically be outlawed, or it should be at least greatly restricted. I care about divorce in the sense that it's a public matter.
So they want to make divorce illegal. Next up, Susan Hawkins, the 40-year-old president of Students for Life, one of the leaders of the forced birth movement.
Today you get to choose to do the great thing and join us to make abortion unthinkable and unavailable and make abolishing abortion your family legacy.
So they want to make abortion illegal everywhere in all cases, including rape and incest, which is what happened in Arizona last week. And finally, senior pastor of Covenant Bible Church in Austin, Texas, Christian nationalist Joel Webben.
Number one, if only men could vote. So here's another statistic for you. If only men could vote, we didn't have women's suffrage. We would not have one Democrat president in the last 50 years. Did you know that? Not one. So no, I don't think women should vote.
So they want to repeal the 19th Amendment. We all need to remember, and if you're not old enough to remember, you need to be told, that they used to tell us not to worry about Roe v. Wade. Sure, some fringe voices, like one Republican president after another, kept calling for the repeal of Roe v. Wade, but the adults in the room, which included Amy Coney Barrett, Brett Kavanaugh, Neil Gorsuch, John Roberts, they all said in their confirmation hearings that Roe was settled law and precedent was so important to them. The adults in the room, they weren't going to scrap Roe. Even the Republicans calling for the repeal of Roe didn't want to overturn Roe. They just wanted to run against it. And we, the hysterics who were worried about Roe, we just weren't politically sophisticated enough to see that. Turns out they wanted to overturn Roe all along, and they did. They also want to overturn Griswold, the Supreme Court decision that legalized contraception. Every once in a while, a Republican would say they wanted to ban the pill, birth control, because it gives women, in the immortal words of Rick Santorum, license to do things in a sexual realm that are counter to how things are supposed to be. When someone like Rick Santorum would say that years and years and years ago, we would jump up and down and say they're coming for your birth control, and we would be told that wasn't true, and we were being hysterical. And now, after overturning Roe, more and more Republicans every day, including Clarence Thomas, keep saying that they are coming for Griswold. Elected officials and activists and pundits out there arguing that birth control should be illegal. They meant what they said then about Roe. They mean what they say now about birth control, about contraception, about Griswold. Lizzie Marbuck of Ohio Right to Life took to Twitter last week to say, "Birth control is wrong in its very purpose. There is no societal good that comes from birth control. Ban it all." In a follow-up tweet, Marbuck made it clear that she meant banning condoms too. So I'm alarmed about that. Also alarming, the increasingly louder voices in the new Trumpified GOP, which is all fringe, no adults in the room, calling for banning birth control, along with abortion, and ending no-fault divorce, and repealing the 19th Amendment, those voices are getting louder and louder. And we are being told, don't be hysterical, they don't mean it, they just want to run against divorce and the 19th Amendment, and contraception, and interstate travel by women and girls, and abortion medication. They mean it. They want to repeal the 20th century, all of it, including the 19th Amendment. So, for women, that means husbands you can't leave, pregnancies you can't terminate or prevent. And my fellow faggots, They're coming for your prep. And this agenda will be shoved down all of our throats by politicians we won't be able to vote out if the Trumpified GOP gets control of all three branches of the federal government. We can't let that happen. Which is why, one of the reasons why, this November, I'll be voting blue, no matter who. Up and down the ticket, dog catcher to president, and you should too. All right, before we get to your calls, two quick notes about Hump, my film festival. First, a note of gratitude. I had a blast hosting Hump 2024 Part 1 in Berlin last week. Thank you so much to everyone who came to the show at Babylon Kreuzberg, including a couple of Berlin-based Hump stars. And we will see you back at Babylon Kreuzberg in the fall for Hump 2024 Part 2. And now, with gratitude out of the way, a note of grievance. Hump played in Vancouver last weekend. We have been taking Hump to Vancouver for 10 years. For the first time ever, Consumer Protection BC, British Columbia, demanded to review the program before the screening could go forward. They made this demand on the day of. After reviewing the program, Consumer Protection BC required the removal of one of the films and threatened to strip the venue, the Rio Theater, of its license if it showed the full program. In an email, Consumer Protection BC said the film speaks to bondage in a sexual context. There are other films with bondage in them. In Hump 2024, Part 1, we were not asked to censor those films. The Reward featured a gay couple. The other films that include bondage in this year's program mostly feature straight couples. On the phone with the venue, Consumer Protection BC said the bondage in The Reward appeared to be non-consensual. We take consent very seriously at Hump. Hump is a celebration of sexual expression, gender diversity, and consent. The Reward, the film that was censored in BC, was made by a married gay couple with a shared and very consensual love for bondage play. Here's a quick description of that film that you didn't get to see in Vancouver this weekend. It's really creative. It's this triptych with three bondage scenes happening at once. I'm going to talk about the scene in the middle, a mummification scene. If you aren't familiar with mummification, during a mummification scene, someone gets wrapped head to toe in duct tape. They become a duct tape mummy. But before you wrap someone in duct tape, you wrap them in saran wrap so that when you take the duct tape off, you don't take off every hair on their body. And you know what? Here's the thing about wrapping someone in saran wrap from head to toe. You can't wrap someone in saran wrap from head to toe without their cooperation. If someone wasn't consenting to getting wrapped in saran wrap, all that someone has to do is run around the room in a circle and flap his arms. Then that someone can't be wrapped in saran wrap. So that scene was clearly consensual, obvious not just from the kind of bondage being represented, but the fact that the mummy was very clearly and unmistakably enjoying himself the whole time. My apologies to Hump audiences in Vancouver who didn't get to see the full program, including The Reward. It's a terrific little film. My apologies in advance to Hump audiences in Victoria, British Columbia, who won't get to see the full program. If you would like to defy the censors at Consumer Protection BC and see the full and uncensored Hump 2024 Part 1 on its spring tour, we have screenings coming up this weekend in Eugene, Cleveland, and Ann Arbor. To get tickets to a screening this weekend or to find out when Hump is coming to a city near you, go to humpfilmfest.com. All right, coming up on today's show, on the micro, tons of your Q's, lots of my A's, and on the magnum, Savage Lovecast, Washington Post columnist Alexandra Petri joins me to talk politics, being a humor writer in a time when everything seems so grimly unfunny, fantasy book clubs, and she sticks around to try her hand at giving a little sex advice with me. That's on the magnum that you can subscribe to at savage.love. More calls, more guests, no ads. You also get the full Savage Love and Struggle session and invites to Savage Love Live and more. But we have a great show coming up for everybody, for our Magnum subs, and for all of our listeners. And it starts right now. This episode is brought to you by Helix Sleep, the best mattress for your individualized comfort. Right now, my listeners get 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows. Go to helixsleep.com/savage. Revamp your sex life with Liberator, makers of sex positioning pillows, shapes, and furniture that amp up passion and enable and improve intimacy. Right now, you can save 40% off their best-selling wedge ramp combo using promo code SAVAGE. Liberator, the ultimate bedroom adventure gear. This episode is sponsored by Hims, affordable access to ED treatment, all online. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/savage.
Hi, Dan and the Tech Savvy at Riskies. This is a girl in New York in her 20s calling because about a month ago, I moved into a place because my male roommate found me because of an extremely bad housing situation. And when I moved in, we ended up sleeping together. And I've had a lot of impulsive and wonderful sex, but this sex was just incredible. I've been trying to play it cool, but I really want it to happen again. And so I kind of put out feelers. This guy is in his 30s, and I just told him, I really want this to happen again. He's like, I'm sure it will. And then I finally talked to him and was basically like, do you want this to happen again? And he was basically like, yes. He's like, I'm just worried about the whole roommate situation thing. And I have put out feelers like 3 times, so I don't want to do it again because like I just don't want to be that person. And it's so hard to tell. I also know that he's definitely talking to other girls. I see him talking. And also I'm sure that we both didn't really expect that anything was going to happen. But I actually do like him, but I also think maybe this is something like I've had a lot of sex with older guys, but maybe he's just being a little bit more mature about it and thinking about it more thoughtfully. But like, I just want this guy to fuck me so bad. And I'm just thinking about like, I'm subletting right now. So I've been thinking about just moving out and like maybe seeing what happens then. But I mean, it sounds like he is into it. It's so hard to tell. Also, I did put out feelers while he was like playing video games, which I think he's like highly addicted to. And he never came to my room and played video games for like 14 hours. So there's a few things there.
You're in New York. Apartments are much harder to find than dick. So do not move out. Do not give up your sublease a minute earlier than you need to. Stay there. But you need to get over your roommate. Your roommate, I really hate to be the bearer of bad news here. Your roommate doesn't want to fuck you. No horny straight man in the whole sordid history of horny straight men has ever passed up on sex he wanted to have because she was his roommate. You had sex once and it was great. You have the memories. File them in your spank bank. Try to pixelate this guy, this hot guy, whenever you have to look at him. Whatever you need to do to stay in that apartment and stay sane, go ahead and do that. But look, there's what he's telling you, which is, yeah, maybe. And then there's what he's doing. There are his words, which are, yeah, sure. And his actions, which are, no, thanks. He's telling you, sure, he'd love to do that again sometime because he knows that that's what you want to hear and he doesn't want to hurt your feelings and your roommates. And he's conscious of the fact you're roommates and he wants to get along with you. And so he doesn't want to flat out reject you. But then in front of you, he flirts with other women on the apps or on his phone. And you throw yourself at him. You offer him sex. You put out quote unquote feelers again and again and again. And he chooses 14 hours of video game playing over 20 minutes of fucking the shit out of you and 13 hours and 40 minutes of video game playing. Yeah, I think that means he's not interested, which sucks. And I hate to be the one to have to tell you that. But the good news is there's no dick shortage. And there's other guys out there who can fuck you just as well as this guy fucked you. But to get fucked that well again, you're going to have to find some other guy. The only hope, the only prayer you have for this guy maybe fucking you again like he fucked you right after you moved in with him is him knowing you found other dick. And maybe that will arouse in him some desire to get back on top of you, but probably not. And so you shouldn't let that be the reason you get out there and find other dick. You should get out there and find other dick because this dick isn't interested in a repeat. As much as he may have enjoyed the sex he had with you, which he may have enjoyed just as much as you enjoyed the sex you had with him that one time, there are lots of people out there who are kind of one and done types, and it doesn't mean the sex was bad or that they disliked the person or it was a negative experience. They're just not into repeats, or they're into video games more than they're into repeats. He may be one of those guys. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in his head. The only thing I can tell you almost certainly for sure is that he's not going to fuck you again. Sorry.
Hi, Dan. This is a queer woman, bi, poly in the UK calling in general with some of the advice that you often give. And, you know, you see a lot sort of floating around the polysphere. Is this idea that this agreement, this rule that I'm going to fuck other people, but I'm not going to fall in love with them, or I'm not going to catch feelings for them, is somehow an okay agreement to make? I see this rule causing a lot of drama because, of course, we can't help when we catch feelings for each other. And inevitably, like, it puts the person who's caught feelings into a terrible situation whereby they're faced with the situation that they have to break somebody's heart, either the person that they've newly fallen in love with or their existing partner. They've broken a rule. It wasn't their fault and that there was nothing that they could have done to prevent it. But really, like, this rule causes a lot of heartache in a lot of relationships, and it causes a lot of drama. And, like, at what point do we, as poly elders, as more experienced poly people, start explaining to sort of newly ethically non-monogamous people that they need to stop doing this? That, yeah, this might sound like a really good idea in the abstract, and that might feel like it protects you, but actually what it does is it just causes heartbreak for everybody involved. Either we need to be talking to people like about how they sort of make their relationships more resilient in the face of potentially catching feelings, or like come up with some sort of game plan. But yeah, Dan, I think we need to stop encouraging people to have this rule, to have this agreement, particularly when they're opening up, because I think it leads to a lot of drama and a lot of heartbreak. And I'd like to hear you maybe reflect a little bit more on what could replace this rule instead, because I don't think it's working for anybody.
Well, speaking as a dues-paying member of the poly-elderist community, this rule that you cite, we're going to open our relationship, we're going to be non-monogamous, not polyamorous. Polyamorous, of course, means open to concurrent, committed relationships that are loving. Polyamorous people, more than one love, many loves. But newly non-monogamous people, they sometimes really do need their rules. And one of the rules that newly non-monogamous people often embrace, at least at the start, is we can fuck other people, but no dating. Sometimes packaged along with rules like not in our bed, not in our house, not in our time zone, nobody that we know, no one from work. Sometimes newly non-monogamous people are so skittish about the risks of opening up the relationship that they lay down so many rules that the relationship is only open in theory, but not in practice. And then when one of those newly non-monogamous couples that has a million rules actually manages to locate someone that one of them or both of them can have sex with, they're so worried about the possibility of catching feelings that they kind of go out of their way to be dicks to the person that they're having sex with, to make sure to telegraph to that person that no relationship, affection isn't on the table, just boning, just fucking the shit out of you. And then we have to toss you out the window with yesterday's garbage. And no one really likes to be treated like that. And it doesn't seem to me that that is a good or decent or kind way to move through the world. I am a big proponent of the successful short-term relationship and wanting to stick the dismount and leaving people in better shape than you found them. And that includes the people that you have one-offs with, one-night stands with, the people you have sex with that you know that you're never going to see again, or that you have sex with that you know you never do want to see again, even if you live in the same town. You can still be kind and decent. But people with that rule, no catching feelings, that rule can inspire people to just treat people like shit, to kind of inoculate themselves or immunize themselves against catching feelings, or that person wanting to catch feelings for you, because other than the dicking, you've been such a dick. The longer, though, people are in non-monogamous relationships, it does seem that the more arbitrary rules they're able to let go of as they grow more secure in what non-monogamy means and how it feels, and their partner goes and fucks somebody else but then comes home to them again and again, and they grow more confident and secure in the primary relationship. And then sometimes that no repeats, no feelings, those rules get left by the side of the road. Or, as often is the case, feelings are caught without any intention to catch the feelings. You know, we love to transgress against those rules and boundaries, and sometimes people just fucking catch feelings, and then it's a crisis in the relationship that has to be processed. What does this mean? We had a rule that we could fuck other people, we could even have regular thirds or regular side pieces, but no feelings, and now you're coming to me saying you want this person to be invited to Thanksgiving dinner. So that can be a crisis in the relationship that then the couple has to process, often in a kind of echo of the crisis in the relationship that the couple processed when one, because it's almost always one, initiated the conversation in the first place about opening the relationship. So anyway, I'm just thinking about this out loud at your prompt. Yeah, you raise a good point. People catch feelings and people need to be conscious of that. And it is a risk. And rules are made to be broken. And that is one of the rules you often see broken in not just non-monogamous relationships, but monogamous relationships. People who make monogamous commitments sometimes catch feelings for somebody else, whether they fucked them or not. And sometimes people in ethically non-monogamous relationships where no feelings, no catching of feelings is a rule, will sometimes themselves catch feelings. And then they have a lot to talk about with their primary partner. And whatever else is going on, at least they're not bored. Whenever I go stay at my boyfriend's, I am delighted for at least two reasons. One of the big reasons, I get to see my boyfriend. The other is that, like me and my husband, me and my boyfriend also have a Helix sleep mattress. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even mattresses made just for kids. To figure out which mattress is right for you, take the Helix sleep quiz to find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And then your personalized mattress will be shipped straight to your door free of charge. But you will get, with your mattress, a 100-night sleep trial. You can try out your new mattress, see how your body adjusts, and if you decide it's not the best fit, you are welcome to return it for a full refund. Helix offers models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side, like me, or models with more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15 year warranty, depending on the model. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazines. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to fix for improving your sleep. And right now, for my listeners, Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows. Go to helixsleep.com/savage to get 20% off and those two free pillows. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hi, Dan. I am a pansexual cis woman in her early 30s, calling about a conflict I'm having with a dear friend of mine. For context, he is a straight man, and I am engaged to my longtime partner, and our friendship has always been extremely close, but completely platonic. He's been one of my closest friends for years. We'll sometimes go out of town together. He's one of the few people I go to when I'm struggling with big things in life. We know everything about each other. He's just my best friend. So around 6 months ago, he invited me to his brother's wedding across the country, and we've been planning that trip together since then. He bought me tickets for my birthday to see a band out there that we both love. It's been fun. The issue is that he started dating somebody 3 months ago who I don't know at all. And she is uncomfortable with these plans. When he first told me this, I was like, that's completely understandable. Let's all hang out together. I'll bring my fiance. Let's give her the chance to see our dynamic so that she's less threatened by the idea of me. We can make this work. But that never happened. And he texted me a few days ago letting me know that the trip is off and, quote, sorry, it sucks, but she's really uncomfortable with it. Dan, I am so incredibly hurt by all of this. I can't believe that he's bailing on these plans for somebody he's only been dating for 3 months without even letting us meet one another. I feel incredibly abandoned and heartbroken by my best friend. We haven't talked in person about it yet. I've told him that I'm way too hurt and I'm nervous that I'm going to say something I regret because I'm so emotional about all of it right now, but I really don't know what to do. Part of me feels like I've learned something about him that I can't unlearn, like this is where our friendship stacks up in his list of priorities. But another part of me thinks I'm just being dramatic because I'm so hurt and I'm so afraid of losing him.
You thought you knew everything about your best friend. Now you know a little something more. You know that your friend is seeing someone who's controlling and insecure, and your friend, at least right now, is prioritizing his relationship with this controlling and insecure new partner over his friendship with you. That sucks. My advice for you, be the bigger person, which is hard. I realize when someone who's been in our lives a long time, someone that we love platonically, prioritizes the feelings and insecurities of someone new and someone who by being so insecure and controlling would seem to be someone that they would not pick over you, but they pick that person over you and put the new person's feelings over yours. And that's painful and it sucks, but we all do crazy things when we're in love, and typically it's new love that inspires us to do the craziest shit. There are two ways this is going to play out. I've never seen a relationship work out in the long run when one person is so insecure they can't let their partner know the people that they know and spend time with the people that they like. When someone is as easily threatened and insecure and controlling as your bestie's new girlfriend seems to be, the relationship is highly likely to end, as most relationships do, even relationships with people who aren't insecure and controlling. Or if this relationship actually goes on, this woman is going to have to, at some point, get over this shit. Now, I think it would have been better and it would have sped up the day when this woman, your bestie's new girlfriend, got over this shit if your bestie had told his new girlfriend, no, he wasn't going to disinvite you to his brother's wedding. I assume you also probably at this point, if you've been friends for a very long time, know his brother well too. Because sooner or later, you know, the only thing that's going to leverage her out of this insecure, controlling bullshit is him indicating to her at some point that he's not going to put up with it. Would have been a great point right now, 3 months in, for him to indicate that to her. But he didn't. He prioritized her feelings right now and her insecurities over your feelings and over his relationship with you. And that sucks. Not quite as sucky as an infidelity, but we talk on the show all the time about how people can forgive infidelities. Seems to me that if you can let this go, and much as it sucks, as painful as it is, and you're allowed to say out loud to him and to his face that this was painful for you, if you can suck it up, let it go for now, forgive, eventually your friend is either going to come back to you in 3 months or 6 months or a year with an apology for the bullshit he pulled while he was in the thrall of this woman who was so insecure she couldn't let her boyfriend have a female friend, or they're going to come to you together after having met with you eventually and apologize to you together because she's going to work through this shit and get over this shit. I think the latter, her getting over this shit, is the unlikelier outcome. I think the former, your boyfriend eventually getting sick of this shit, of her shit, of this kind of controlling and insecure, manipulative bullshit, that's likelier. And when that happens, if you want to have that friendship, you want to be besties again, you'll have to forgive him. And in that moment when you forgive him, without dumping a truckload of I told you so's on top of his head, in that moment when you forgive him, you will be demonstrating to him what you wished you'd seen from him 3 months or 6 months or a year ago, however long it takes for you two to reconnect, which is by forgiving him, you're prioritizing your friendship, being besties, over your anger, over holding on to your anger from the way he betrayed you, or this controlling and insecure woman who is hopefully at this point out of his life. Ever feel like you need a little boost in the bedroom? With Hims, you can easily get medication that will help you to feel confident knowing you can get hard and stay hard whenever you're in the mood. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor's visits. Answer a series of questions on their site and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option for you. If prescribed, your medication ships to you for free. No insurance is needed. If ED is getting you down, it's time you join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/savage. That's hims.com/savage for your personalized ED treatment options. Let them know the Lovecast sent you. hims.com/savage. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hi there, Dan. I am a 32-year-old trans woman who just started dating a really great guy. And I'm calling because I find that after 10 years of hormones and a lot of varied sexual trauma, that it's extremely challenging for me to achieve orgasm not using a vibrator and by myself. During the pandemic, I bought myself like one of those big, giant Hitachi style vibrators, like machine gun of vibrators. And I found that I've in some ways become reliant on it to orgasm. It's normally fine in other contexts. Like, I'm a 10-year grinder veteran, and, you know, like cruising, I feel like most of the time people don't really care if you come, which is fine for me. But in this new dynamic, the sex is different, and I want to be able to like show up for my partner in that way. And I'm worried that it's going to be an issue down the line. And so I feel like I have the deck stacked against me in some ways, but I'm just wondering if you think there's anything that I can do. I've seen bottoms in, you know, porn that come from anal, and I'm so jealous of those people. I've never been that girl. So anyway, I don't know if this is like a question you can answer, but I hope you can help.
Our bodies and how they work change over time, even in the absence of hormone therapy or bottom surgery. It doesn't sound like you've had bottom surgery, but 10 years of hormone therapy. Cis gay boys who can do that coming hands-free trick during anal intercourse at age 23, sometimes those same cis gay boys can't do the same parlor trick during anal intercourse at age 33. Because as our bodies change, as we age, our genitals, our orgasmic plateaus and cycles kind of change right along with them. So what works for us, what works to get us off, that changes. Again, even in the absence of hormone therapy. So when you find something that works, and as we age, what works may be a little more involved. It may require more effort, more tools, more focus. But when you find the things that work, even if those things are changing for you over time, the takeaway isn't that you're broken, but that you're still, sexually speaking, in good working order. You're just working now in a different way. So that vibrator, that powerful vibrator that you can use to make yourself come, put that into the hands of your new partner after showing them how it is you use it on yourself to make it come. It is a tool. Hopefully, the person that you're seeing understands that if you hand somebody a hammer and they build a house with it, that they built that house using that hammer. They didn't not build that house. So when you hand somebody a vibrator and they build an orgasm for you with it, they gave you that orgasm. They built that orgasm. It may be easier for you at first during partnered sex to use that vibrator on yourself. Sounds like you're one of those younger adults, still young relative to me, who's gotten a lot of their sex education or impressions of how sex is supposed to work watching porn. I would encourage you to go watch some feminist porn, porn made by women, for women, so that you can see how common it is for cis women, by cis women, for cis women, for cis women to use vibrators on their clits during penetrative sex in order to get off. That is something you often see in porn made by cis women, for cis women, in feminist porn, because it is much easier for many women, who most of whom can't come from PIV alone, to climax during partnered sex, during PIV intercourse, when they incorporate a vibrator. To do that, they need a partner who's not an insecure bag of slop. Hopefully you've got that kind of partner, so that when you incorporate that vibrator during PIA or PIB, penis and butt sex, penetrative sex, the penetrative sex you have with your partner, when you use your Hitachi magic wand, your powerful vibrator, they aren't threatened by that. They know that they're with that vibrator, whether it's in your hands or their hands, helping to build that orgasm with and for you. And that is how your body works now. And yeah, it's true. You hear from a lot of trans women that it can be more difficult to climax after years of hormone therapy. A lot of trans women after bottom surgery have to carve new neural pathways, learn how to re-experience, to relive in their bodies, and find new ways to get to climax, to get to orgasm, and that takes time. And you found that way already. So you're leagues ahead of many of your trans sisters, and you shouldn't be ashamed of how your body works now. And you have this advantage of knowing what works and being able to show to your partner how it works for you, and what it takes, which is this vibrator, which is not there to create all sensations. It is not the source of eroticism for you or pleasure. It enhances the pleasure that you are experiencing with them. And it is a tool that they can use to give you an orgasm. Here at Savage Lovecast Industries, we're all about spicing up your sex life and strengthening relationships, and Liberator Sexy Furniture can help get you there. For two decades, Liberator has been leading a sexual revolution, freeing couples from the mundane with their epic shapes and furniture. From the iconic wedge ramp combo to the S-Love lounger, the bonbon toy mount, and the tantalizing fascinator throw, Liberator has something for every desire. Made right here in the U.S. from top-notch materials like furniture-grade foam, plush microfiber, and premium leather, Liberator products are built to last, because when it comes to pleasure, why settle for anything less? Liberator makes two bondage collections, the edgy black label and the brand new Valkyrie edition with removable Velcro cuff fasteners. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just dipping your toes into the world of BDSM, Liberator has you tied and tethered. Now, for our listeners, Liberator is offering 40% off their best-selling wedge ramp combo. Just use promo code SAVAGE at checkout. With Liberator, you can transform your sex life into a thrilling adventure. With Liberator, you can defy gravity. Head over to Liberator.com now and use the promo code SAVAGE to ignite the passion and make your wildest fantasies a reality. Have a spring fling with Liberator.
Hi Dan, 35-year-old cishet polyfemale from the Pacific Northwest calling. 3 years ago, I caught feelings for a really close male friend of mine. Conveniently, he was in an open marriage, and we ended up forming a wonderful, loving, sexy, ethical relationship. And it's been so, so good. I've known the whole time that he and his wife are interested in having kids one day, and we talked many times about how things would change when that time came. Obviously, their priority and time would shift massively, and while that made me sad, I was open to it. However, recently, he and his wife decided that the day they get a positive pregnancy test result, they're officially switching back to complete monogamy. They say that this is what feels safest and best for them. I would love to be able to say that I understand and respect their decision, and maybe even that I'm happy for them, but, like, I don't, and I'm not. I feel like I'm getting vetoed by a yet-to-be-conceived baby, or just, like, a staunchly traditional definition of a family unit. And right now, this puts me in a really weird spot. They intend to stay open until the day that this happens, which could be as soon as next month, but also could take years or just never happen at all. I really love and care for this man, and I want to keep seeing him and fucking him. But it's very hard to be in a relationship with someone you can't make plans with beyond next week. The other tough part is that we were friends first, and we're heavily integrated in each other's social circles. So it would be really difficult for me to go through a full-on breakup with him, because we'll inevitably keep seeing each other in social contexts. The best solution I've been able to come up with for this unknown time period in limbo is to try to de-escalate things a bit and start acting more like friends with benefits than romantic partners, which should hypothetically make the next transition to just being friends easier. But I'm finding it just feels really disingenuous to pretend not to care as much. Maybe that's just because it's fresh and will get easier over time. I don't know, Dan, what do you think? Is it possible to turn off a romantic connection with somebody while still seeing them regularly and fucking them? Or am I making this harder on myself than it should be?
You're not being vetoed by a baby. You're also not being vetoed by an archaic definition of family. You're being vetoed by this guy and his partner. And not you personally, but having other partners. Non-monogamy. They're reverting to, returning to monogamy once they realize they're pregnant. And that is a decision that they have made together as a couple, a decision he's made in consultation with his primary partner. You don't say that he was sad about this, or this was imposed on him, or he's reluctantly agreeing to return to monogamy because that's what his partner wants. So it sounds like he recognizes that this is what is best for them as a couple, and it's a decision that they've come to together. And I gotta say, that makes sense to me. Logistically, just speaking about logistics, an infant in the house is an all-hands-on-deck crisis. And what your boyfriend's partner wants is, once that infant arrives, once she's pregnant, to be his focus, his sole focus. And I'm sorry, but that, with an infant in the house to take care of and a person in the house to take care of who just went through the trauma of childbirth, that's not an unreasonable ask. That's not an unreasonable demand. So seems to me that to protect yourself, like it or not, you should step back. Maybe you should end the sexual and romantic connection that you have with this man, who I'll just call your boyfriend for now. He's, you know, your boyfriends. You were friends for a long time before you began to see each other and fuck and date. But I gotta imagine that the fucking and dating reinforced and deepened the feelings that you had for him. And it's going to be really hard for you to just say to yourself, make a decision, I'm not going to continue to feel for him the way that I've been feeling for him. And this thing that we've been doing that strengthened and deepened our feelings for each other, this fucking and dating and hanging out and being intimate, I'm going to wall that off from my feelings so I can still have the sex with him that I enjoy without it setting me up, setting you up for greater hurt when the pregnancy test, you know, as people used to say, when the rabbit dies, but when the pregnancy test comes back positive and it ends. Seems to me that he's indicated to you that this relationship has an expiration date. Only you can decide if it's worth it, if this tainted love, tainted not by any shitty thing that he's done, but by the awareness, the knowledge that once he and his primary get pregnant, you're not quite going to be kicked to the curb because he'd still like to be your friend, but any sense of obligation he has to you as a partner, as a boyfriend, that's over. His sole focus, all of his obligations become his primary partner and the pregnancy and the infant when it comes that they are raising together. And there isn't room for you in that relationship, not sexually, not emotionally, because they're going to shut it back down. Maybe not forever. I think it can be a good idea logistically, people with a brand new baby in the house, not to be dating other people, not to have the distractions of other relationships. You know, people who are non-monogamous and poly talk all the time about, you know, the Google Calendar and all the talking and meetings that you have to do to sustain those relationships and your primary relationship too. And they're telling you now they're not going to have the bandwidth for that, not going to have the bandwidth for you. And now you get to tell him whether you want to keep sucking his dick until the baby comes. All right, before we get to this week's listener response calls, I want to share a couple of listener comments about last week's show. posted at savage.love, says NIN girl Jane about that blowjob call, Dan. I think you missed the fact that the caller's boyfriend wants her to bob up and down while he thrusts, and then they get out of sync. The dude seems to want it all. If he's that concerned with the pace of her bobbing, he should put on a song for her to bob to. I have a suggestion for a song that might work for bobbing and bopping. Catchy. I think those Hanson boys are going somewhere. There is a lively debate in the comment thread on last week's show about my intro, about the gay man in Canada who tricked two straight men into using a glory hole that he had constructed in a door in his apartment, and that gay man is now going to prison, essentially for rape by deception. Says Thingamajig, I don't want to minimize, but isn't sticking your dick into a hole a bit of a caveat emptor situation? I kind of agree. Seems to me you stick your dick in a glory hole, hole in a sheet, hole in a wall, you get what you get. Might get a blowjob, hopefully a blowjob, just a blowjob, but you're not going to get it from a woman. Says Matheson Leah about the gay guy with the glory hole, I do not think this deception equates to rape. Rape is when you can't leave because you're frozen due to the shock of what's happening to you. Rape is when you've been subjugated to prolonged emotional and or sexual battery. Rape is when you are unable to escape because your assailant is stronger. What the defendant implied in their advertising was wrong, but I don't think it equates to rape. The plaintiff's penises were not filleted by the filleter against their will. The defendant just lied. The man being sent to prison for telling that lie needs a better lawyer. Really interesting breakdown of what should count as rape by deception and what shouldn't count as rape by deception in that same comment thread from John H. Too long to read in the segment of the show, but you should definitely check it out. Finally, says Dutch Girl, I wish I met more of those men Dan thinks are in the majority who realize that men are dangerous to women sometimes. The number of men on dating apps who were so butthurt after being told that no, they can't come to my house right now and I won't come to their house either, ... I agree with those telltale dots, Dutch Girl. All right, for more listener comments and more of my responses, be sure to check out Struggle Session, a weekly bonus column for Magnum subs. It goes up every Thursday at savage.love. It is where you will find the Muppet-faced man of the week, and you can find him there if you become a Magnum sub now at savage.love. All right, on to listener response calls.
This is in response to the woman from episode 911 who didn't want to go out with the guy who didn't notice her red wedding ring. I don't know if it's just me, but being a younger millennial at 30, I don't think about rings whatsoever. In my world, people wear rings for all kinds of reasons. I will say that wedding bands and engagement rings do definitely stand out in terms of quality, but even so, I have literally never thought about looking for rings when talking to a woman. I'm a cishet guy for context. So I don't know if this is a generational thing or if this is a region thing. I just wanted to throw it out there that there are people out there who would literally never consider looking at a ring to determine if I should hit on this person or not.
Hey, Dan. This is in response to the lesbian couple from episode 911. Who are planning on having children together. One option would be for each of the women to carry the other's egg. My nesting partner and I went through infertility stuff a couple years ago, and one of my partner's concerns was not having a biological child. The doctor had mentioned that it would very much be her biological child because even though it's someone else's egg, my partner's placenta would be the one carrying the child and my partner's uterus would be carrying that placenta and her blood and all the other stuff that creates a child would be going through her. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Hey, Dan, this is a call in response to episode 911 with the woman who had the mother-in-law who seemingly was more excited about her biological grandchild coming. My husband and I went through quite literally the exact same scenario. We both did gestational surrogacy. We have two kids. One of our kids is related to each of us. And both of our mothers of the same age and generation said something to the effect of, oh, I'm so excited about my progeny or whatever. And it really stuck in my craw. I know it affected my husband a lot. My mother-in-law even has adoptive children of her own, and she said that shit. So yeah, it really fucked us up prior. So I'm so sorry to the caller, but I will say what Dan said, which is something magical happens when those babies are born and when they exist and they're real people and they're sitting there and they can be held and looked at and loved. So often that shit goes away. It doesn't always, but in our case, my kids are 4 and 2 and our parents have never, ever said anything like that again. And they refer to them as their grandchildren. And I hope and I think that's coming for you guys.
And we're going to leave it there. We've got 3 ways for you to get us your questions or your comments for future shows. You can record your question or comment directly at savage.love/askdan, or you can make a voice memo on your own phone and email your question or comment to q@savage.love, or you can call us on our landline and leave us a message at 206-302-2064. Magnum Subs, quick note, we're having a new Savage Love Live Zoom hangout April 25th, noon Pacific. Become a Magnum Sub if you want to join us. If you already are a Magnum Sub, look to your email inboxes on the morning of April 25th and you will get a link to the Zoom hangout. See ya for the next Savage Love Live, April 25th. Come see Hump this weekend in Eugene, Cleveland, and Ann Arbor, the full and uncensored Hump. And if you've ever been tempted to enter Hump, make 2025 your year. Learn all about how you can get your dirty little film into my dirty little film festival at humpfilmfest.com/submit. Follow me on Instagram and Threads at Dan Savage. Follow me at Blue Sky at Dan Savage. And you can still find me at The Bad Place at Fake Dan Savage. You can and should read Alexandra Petrie's humor column in the Washington Post. You can and should follow her on Twitter at Petrie Dishes. And her latest book, Alexander Petrie's U.S. History, the best AP history course ever, is available wherever books are sold, especially hilarious ones. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian, and me and Nancy and the tech-savvy at-risk youth. We will all be back at you next week with another installment of the Savage Lovecast, unless Consumer Protection BC tells us we can't, I guess. See you next week.